Well, today we're continuing the series that we've been in called Address the Mess. I hope you guys are enjoying this series. How many of you are enjoying this series? You've been with us for the last couple of weeks. You're getting something out of this. I'm enjoying this series. This past week in my life group, we had a great discussion. We talked about some of our past messes. We talked about some of the messy areas of our lives in the present. We laughed together. Come on, sometimes you got to get with some other believers and just laugh. We laughed together. We encouraged each other. We prayed for each other. So I just want to encourage you, keep leaning in. If you're plugged into life group, prioritize getting there this week so you can talk through the message. If you're not in a life group, you need to get into a life group because that's the best way to get the most out of this message series. So let me just recap where we've been, okay? Last week, or actually in the first week, we talked about how the message is our common ground. There's one thing we all have in common. We've all been a mess. Maybe you are a mess right now, or there's some area of your life that's a mess right now. And if things are smooth sailing for you right now, we're all just one dumb decision away from another mess. How many of you know that's true? Like, the mess is our common ground because nobody's perfect. In fact, we've all said that before. We have all said that very statement before. Nobody's perfect. And isn't it interesting when we say nobody's perfect, we are acknowledging that there is a perfect that nobody is. Track with me here, right? Like, the only reason you have a sense that you're not perfect is because there is a standard of perfection by which you are measuring yourself against. Isn't it interesting that human beings have this sense, right? That there is a moral standard, like a universal moral standard kind of pressing on us, and yet we know we don't fully live up to it. Nobody's perfect. It's just part of being a human being. In fact, you don't even like being around people who think they're perfect. You don't even like being friends with somebody who doesn't recognize their imperfection. Here's the next thing we said. We said that when we acknowledge our messes, we're actually just baby steps away from acknowledging God. When you just come to this humble, honest place of acknowledging your imperfections and the messy areas of your life, you're actually just baby steps away from acknowledging God. Because that thing on the inside of you that helps you recognize that you are imperfect, we believe that very thing is the thumbprint of God. It's the whisper of God. Like, God put that conscience on the inside of you. God put that moral compass on the inside of you so that you would seek him and find him, so that he would make himself real to you. And so you're just baby steps away. If you can acknowledge your mess, you're just so close to the presence of God. And in that sense, it becomes a gift to us. The mess actually becomes a gift to us because it becomes a means by which we can find the gracious presence of a loving God who doesn't condemn us, but who reaches out to us. Now, last week, we built off of that and we said, the good news is that Jesus can meet us in our mess. The mess can become an opportunity for us to meet Jesus, and he calls us to follow him while we're still messy. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't require you to clean up and to be perfect and have all your ducks in a row before he can accept you? No, he receives you as you are, like as you are, whatever condition you're in, but he calls you to follow him out of the mess. And we looked at several powerful stories from the Gospels of where Jesus entered into the mess of different people, famous stories. We talked about a story of a woman who was caught in adultery, and the religious leaders, the Pharisees, tried to shame her, and Jesus met her in her mess, and he didn't condemn her. And we looked at a story of a man named Zacchaeus, a famous tax collector who got rich off of ripping people off, right? And Jesus called Zacchaeus to follow him. And we looked at another story of a woman, a Samaritan woman, who Jesus met at the well. It's the famous story of the woman at the well, and she had been divorced 5 times. Every time she made a mess of her life and tried to fix it, she just made it messier, and Jesus entered into her mess and changed her life. Now, today, I want to continue that thought. I want to build off of that thought, and here's the idea today. Here's the idea. God loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Come on, that's good news this morning. God loves you just as you are. He receives you as you are. He'll love you even if you're messy, but God loves you too much to leave you that way. He loves you too much to leave you in the mess. He's a loving heavenly father. Jesus revealed God to us as a heavenly father. He said, when you think about God, I want you to think of him this way. He's a heavenly father who loves you, and he wants what's best for you. And he loves you too much to leave you in the mess. See, I can relate to this. I'm a father. I got 3 boys at home, and I love my kids on their good days and on their bad days, right? Like, I love them with the love of a father, but I love them enough to teach them what's right. I love them enough to discipline them at times, right? I love them if I see them kind of getting into a place where they're beginning to have a little messy habit or have a little messy attitude in their heart. I love them enough to help them, to correct them, and to speak words of life into them, to build them up, because I want to see them become everything that God would have them to be. And that's what God wants for you. because he's a loving heavenly father, he doesn't want to just leave you in your mess. Now hold that thought for just a moment. Let me give you two things that Christianity is not. This is going to help us. We're going to springboard from that idea. Two things that Christianity is not. This is a really good time to take out the Redemption app and put some notes in your phone today. Two things that Christianity is not. Here's the first thing. Number one, Christianity is not about messing up over and over again and just getting forgiveness. Christianity is not, the essence of Christianity is not just about messing up over and over and over again. Same old habits, same old negative patterns, same old addictions, same old things that keep creating messes in our lives and the messes of other people and just getting forgiveness. No, 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 that is not Christianity. That's what I call going to Jesus for professional sin management services. Come on, Jesus, I need to see you today. We need to review my portfolio, you know? I need you to help me manage these sins, and there's some problems going on here, and I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to revisit this and do this whole same thing all over again tomorrow. No, that is not Christianity. That is not Christianity. Think about this for just a moment. Think about some of the stories that we looked at last week. For example, the famous story of this woman caught in the act of adultery, right? And the Pharisees, they try to shame her. They bring her, they throw her down to Jesus, and they say, the Old Testament law says that this woman should be condemned to death. Like, what do you say we should do with her? And of course, they were trying to bait Jesus, trying to trap him. And Jesus said, whoever's without sin, you throw the first stone. And one by one, they all walked away, right? Because he exposed their self-righteousness. He exposed their hypocrisy. And then he said to this woman, does no one accuse you? Like, neither do I. Go and sin no more, right? Famous words. Now, can you imagine that if we keep reading in the book of John and like a few chapters later, it says, and then yet again, the Pharisees catch the same woman in the act of adultery and bring her to Jesus. And Jesus says, oh, it's you again. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And then a few chapters later, Jesus runs into this lady again. And yet again, she's been caught in the same act of adultery. And Jesus says to her, I thought I told you last time, go and sin no more. Story doesn't go that way, does it? Or can you imagine Zacchaeus? Here's Zacchaeus, right? The tax collector who ripped people off, got rich off of ripping people off. And we don't know exactly what Jesus said to him. We know Jesus said, come down out of that tree. He was up in this tree trying to see Jesus, the spectacle that was Jesus. Jesus goes to his house. And I would imagine behind closed doors, like Jesus called him to follow him. And Zacchaeus knew he had to make things right. He had to go out. And the scripture says he went out and he repaid back four times what he owed everybody. Now, can you imagine, like we read a chapter later, and 2 weeks later, two weeks later, Jesus runs into Zacchaeus, and he has to talk to Zacchaeus again because he finds out Zacchaeus is back at it again. He's ripping people off, and he has to talk to Zacchaeus again, right? Like, we're laughing at this, right? But we understand, like, these people had an encounter with Jesus that changed their lives. Now, if you have been around this church for any length of time, you know I am a grace preacher, right? You know I don't expect perfection. I don't believe any of us are going to attain perfection in this lifetime. I'm thankful that the scripture says his mercies are made new every morning. Come on, sign me up for my daily distribution of the mercy and grace of God. Are you with me this morning? I'm thankful for the grace of God. But here's what I'm trying to say. There should be some real life change that we can point to, right? Like, we should be able to point to like the work of God in our lives. Like, we should be able to point to, like, God is doing some healing in my life. God has set me free. God has renewed my mind. I'm not perfect, but I'm a work in progress and I'm moving forward and I see his hand on my life and I can point to some real life change. Come on, the scripture says we go from glory to glory. Whoever's in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And so you ought to be able to point to some breakthroughs. You ought to be able to point to some character and some fruit that's been developed in your life. Christianity is not just about messing up over and over and over again, same old things, and just finding forgiveness. Now, let's not overcorrect because we can swing the pendulum back the other way. Here's the other thing that Christianity is not. Number two, Christianity is not just about staying out of trouble. We can make it about that. We can kind of dumb it all down to just staying out of trouble, being a good rule keeper, avoiding the mess. And sadly, for some of you, like, that was the essence of religion that you were taught growing up. It was basically just all about staying out of trouble. And let me just ask you, how did that work out for you? Yeah, not so good, right? That's why some of you threw in the towel for many years. Like, you kind of gave up on church. You gave up on this whole religion thing because it was basically just about being a good person, trying really hard to be a good person. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't put in some effort. I'm not saying you should make some wise decisions. I'm not saying you shouldn't learn from the past. There are some things you can do, right, to avoid some potential messes in your life. God wants you to learn from the past. Like, God gave you a brain for a reason, and he's saying to you, please use it. But we don't want to just boil it all down to just being a good person and keeping the rules. All right, let me give you this example. Where are all the single ladies at? All the single ladies? All the single ladies? All right, imagine you went on a first date with a guy that you're really excited to meet. Come on, his profile was amazing. You're like, this guy has a lot of potential. Like, I think he might be a keeper. You're on your first date. You're getting to know each other. The conversation's going well. There's some chemistry there. You're getting to know him, and you're like, okay, so tell me about your, you know, your career. Like, what are your goals in life? You know, you want to really find out what this guy's all about. And he's like, oh, I have 3 goals. And you're like, wow, he's ambitious. Oh, come on, he's driven. He's got 3 goals. He's like ready to go. And what if he was like, yeah, goal number 1 is I wanna avoid losing the job that I have right now. I wanna make sure I don't lose the job I have now. And you're like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And he's like, goal number 2, I wanna avoid getting another DUI. I don't wanna get another DUI. I wanna avoid that. You'd be like a little bit concerned now, right? And my 3rd goal is I don't wanna get another girl pregnant. I'm just saying. You'd be a little bit concerned, right? Like, his whole life, all of his goals are just about avoiding, like, past mistakes. Imagine bringing that guy home to meet your parents one day. Hey, this is my dad. How you doing, young man? Tell me about your goals in life. Uh-oh. We're in trouble here, right? We can laugh at that, but sometimes, like, that becomes the mindset for certain Christians. It's all about avoiding the mess. It's all about staying out of trouble. It's all about trying really hard not to sin and keep the rules. And I want to tell you, Christianity is about something so much greater than just messing up over and over again and getting forgiveness, but it's also about something so much greater than just staying out of trouble. Following Jesus isn't about avoiding something. It's about becoming someone. Come on, following Jesus, the essence of Christianity, the essence of the Christian life, following Jesus isn't just about avoiding something, it's about becoming someone, a new creation in Christ Jesus, a son, a daughter of God, like the person God is calling you to be. I like to say it this way, Jesus didn't just come to save you from something, your sins, he came to make you into something. Come on, he came to make you into, this is going somewhere. He's molding you. He's shaping you. Whoever's in Christ is a new creation. This is about identity. This is about transformation. Like, we got to get a little bit bigger perspective. Come on, we got to dream a little bit bigger, church. We got to get a little bit bigger picture of just exactly what God wants to do in our lives. And I believe if some of you can get a hold of this today, like, you need to put this in your notes. If some of you can get a hold of this today, it will change the way you see your walk with God. It'll change the way you see your relationship with God, because you, if you're honest, we all tend to veer toward one or the other. We tend to veer toward, like, you know, just same old mistakes, same old habits, going to God for forgiveness, or really trying really hard to just be a good person. No. It's about transformation. It's about God making you into something that you can never become on your own. And I'm believing you're going to get there. Amen? Come on, we're going to cheer each other on. So today I want to help you get a new perspective. I want to help you get a much bigger, better picture of the work that God wants to do in your life, of what the Christian life is. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 1, a few verses there. This is the Apostle Paul's letter, what we call an epistle to the Philippian church. In fact, we've taught on this book of the Bible, this letter before in a past series, one of my favorite books of the Bible. Such an upbeat, encouraging letter, because this was one of Paul's favorite churches. This is a church that really got it and they stood with Paul. And so he kind of writes this, like, gushing, encouraging letter to them. And I really believe, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these words are for us today as well. Let's look at this. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3-6. The Apostle Paul writes this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This is a church that had stood with Paul. This is a church who had prayed with Paul. They had invested in his ministry financially. They had looked after his needs. They had invested in the spread of the gospel. Look at verse 6. This is our key verse. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We're going to just camp out here for just a moment in verse 6. Look at this again. Being confident of this, read this phrase out loud with me, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here's what I want you to know today. Here's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is reminding us of today. When you became a Christian, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit awakened your heart, testified to your heart for your need of a Savior, right? And you placed your faith in Jesus, something happened. Something happened. Like God began a new and good work in you. It's the work of salvation. That's what the Apostle Paul's talking about. In fact, in theology, we call it the process of sanctification. Sanctification is just a fancy term for the work that God is doing in your life. It's a lifelong process by which you're being shaped and molded. The Holy Spirit's working in you to conform you to the image of Christ Jesus. So there's a process underway. There's a work of construction underway here. Like God is growing you. Like this is going somewhere. And the end result, the end goal is for you to go on to maturity. Like God is saying, I'm doing something in you and it's going to take some time. Like when you placed your faith in me, all your problems didn't go away, right? You know, all of a sudden, don't give up. Don't be discouraged if it didn't all get fixed right away because you're a work in progress. I've begun a good work in you and I'm going to be faithful to complete it. You got to know that it's a process and it's going to take time, but I'm working in your life. I'm working in your life. Come on, you got to get a hold of this. Now look at this, verse 6 again, okay? Look at these words with me. That he who began a good work, read this with me, in you. He who began a good work, say it with me, in you. You got to know this, right? He's doing a work on the inside of you. Christianity is an inside-out faith. Christianity is an inside-out faith. He's doing an inner work in you. He's doing something on the inside of you. It's invisible, but it's an inner work. And so God is doing something in you that will eventually come out of you. God is doing something deep in your heart, deep in your soul, right? That's eventually going to come out of you and it's going to look like character and it's going to look like the fruit of the Spirit, like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. It's going to look like freedom and healing. It's going to look like transformation because Christianity is not just about behavior modification. Come on, Christianity is not just about trying harder. It's not just about positive thinking, you know, and visualizing your success. Oh, those are wonderful things, and maybe you should do some of those things. But no, this is about a divine work. This is a work of the Holy Spirit that God is doing in you. It's about the renewing of your heart and your mind. This is about inner transformation, not outward conformity, not just keeping the rules, not just trying harder. This is about inner transformation. You got to get a hold of this today. This is like when you really get the grace of God, like when you really get a greater revelation of just exactly what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. The scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ gave his life for us. When you begin to understand that God is the God who took the first step towards you, that Jesus met you in your mess while you were still messy. He loved you past your mess into a whole new reality. It's when you get that, it's when the Holy Spirit takes that truth and makes it real to you. It begins to melt your heart so that from the inside out, you're changed. It's no longer about being a rule keeper and trying hard to appease God. No, something in you changes so that your whole life becomes an act of worship. Like your relationship with God becomes based on gratitude. And the Apostle Paul literally says that we offer our lives back to God as an act of worship. That's inner transformation. That's inner transformation so that we have this sense that God, I get to give my life back to you. I don't have to. I get to. Are you with me? This is not about just outer obligations. Some of you, you've always kind of thought about church and religion that way. They're these things I have to do. No. Jesus changes you on the inside so that you get to do the will of God, your Father. And it's a much better life, by the way. I'm just saying. It's a much better life. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. It's a lot better than what you had before. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and isn't a lot, not a lot better, something's not going right. Now, let's look at this again, okay? Let's look at verse 6 again. So he began a good work in you. We'll read this out loud with me. Carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He will carry it on to completion. This is a lifelong process. When it says he'll carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, like Paul's saying, like the day when you stand before Jesus Christ one day, that's when you're done. That's when you're complete, okay? So until then, like the rest of your life, like God's working in your life. God is working in your life. Like this is going somewhere. God's not just trying to keep you from something. He's not just trying to keep you from a mess. He's trying to complete a work that he's begun in your life. And I just want to tell you this morning, church, I just want to encourage you. Some of you feel like you haven't arrived yet. Some of you feel like it's one step forward, two steps back. Some of you haven't quite made as much progress as you would like to have made by now. But I want to just tell you this morning that God is faithful. God is the God who will finish the work that he began in your life. And if you're not complete, it's all good. You're just under construction. Come on, never confuse being under construction for being abandoned. You're not abandoned. You're just not complete yet. You're a work in progress. He's chiseling, he's shaping, he's molding, and you are going to get there by the grace of God. Amen. Come on, turn to somebody and say, you're going to get there. You're going to get there. Preach to somebody today. Encourage somebody. We're going to get there together. Let me give you a picture of this, okay? I want to make this real for you. I want to kind of bring this home for you today. What is God doing? What does this look like? Where is it going? Have you ever known someone that you admired that had such character, maybe a Christian, such godliness, a person of such, like they were a person of prayer, a person of peace, a person of wisdom, like life just didn't rattle them. They were most likely an elder in your life, maybe a grandmother, maybe a priest, you know, maybe a pastor, somebody, a mentor in your life. Like you noticed they had something that it took years to build, right? Like there was a character they had. There was something in their spirit that you wanted. And like you looked at them and you recognized it took a lifetime for them to get that way. You have somebody like that? I hope there's somebody like that in your life to kind of give you an example. That's a picture of this work of God doing his work in your life over this good work in your life over the years. And I want to encourage you because sometimes people like that, we feel like, oh, I could never be like that person. I could never be like that person. I want to encourage you today. It's a lifelong process. Just hold on to God. Just keep being faithful. Just keep taking it one day at a time. You'd be surprised where God can get you. You'd be surprised where you can be 10 years from now, but you got to know it's a process. You'll throw in the towel if you think it's all instant. Come on, we want it to be instant. We're like, God, fix it. Jesus is like, follow me. We're like, fix it, follow me, fix it, follow me, follow me. Every area of your life, and I will lead you. I will lead you, and I will complete the work that I began in your life. Come on, some of you came to church to hear that today. It's a process. It's a process. And so we want to participate, right? Like God is doing something in us. It's his work. Sometimes we take it on as if it's our own work. No, God began a good work in you. He's the one who will bring it to pass. But we can cooperate with it, can't we? Like we can pray into it. We can position our hearts. You can cooperate with the grace of God in your life. You can cooperate with this work that God wants to do in your life. And so that's where we want to position ourselves today. Now, let's skip down to a few more verses here. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. The Apostle Paul goes on to say this, and this is my prayer. This is his prayer for the Philippians. And I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his prayer for you and me today as the church. This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Verse 10, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Notice the Apostle Paul's prayer. What does he pray? That you would become a really good rule keeper, that you would really avoid the mess, that you would try really hard to be a good person. No. That your love may abound more and more. So much so that it leads you to becoming a person of knowledge with depth of insight so that you can discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day you meet Jesus. That's a big prayer, isn't it? Like that's a Holy Spirit inspired big prayer for our lives. Let me just ask you this question this morning, church. What are your prayers like for you? What do you pray for you? Just be honest. Because I think sometimes we pray some really, really small, insignificant prayers. Oh God, bless me with a really good parking spot when I go to the mall today. Oh God, help me not to see that coworker that I can't stand today, you know? Oh God, help me not to lose my patience with the kids today and say words that I shouldn't say in front of them. God, help me, right? We pray these little prayers. And a lot of times our prayers are kind of fueled by our fears and by our insecurity. So we pray these little kind of sissy little prayers. And I think the Apostle Paul is challenging us today. He's like, come on, you got to pray bigger. You got to get some bigger and better prayers because God wants to do something in you. He wants to grow you. He wants to mature you. And my prayer for you is that your love would abound more and more so that you grow in knowledge and discernment, right? You can stand blameless before Christ one day. And Paul's prayer, it tips us off today. It gives us some insight into what God wants to do in our lives. Paul said, I want you to learn to love. I want you to grow in the grace of love. I want your love for other people to get greater, to get bigger. I don't want you just to become a rule follower. I don't want you just to become somebody who avoids sin. I don't want you to be somebody who just tries really hard. No, I want you to be somebody who grows in love because the essence of spiritual maturity is growing in love. Jesus boiled it all down for us in the great commandment. He said, here's the essence of what it means to follow God. It's to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The essence of spiritual maturity is growing in love. Growing in love for God and growing in love for people, especially difficult people. Can I get an amen? Somebody help us, Lord Jesus, we need you. Come on, start trying to love difficult people and you will recognize your need for the grace of God. If the grace of God is not real enough in your life, you just need some more difficult people in your life to love and you will find yourself dependent on his grace. Come on, somebody like, please, pastor, pray for me, help me. I see that hand. Because the essence of spiritual maturity, it's growing. It's growing in love. It's growing in love. You want a spiritual gauge? You want a gauge to where you can measure your spiritual growth? Come on. This, some of you, you're like this. Like you measure your growth. You're like somebody, you like to set goals, right? You want to chart your progress. You're the kind of person like, I want my savings to be in this place by this point in time at the end of the year. And like you're checking your app to see how you're doing, saving money. Come on, some of you are getting fit. You're losing weight. You're getting stronger. You're on the scale every week, right? And you're charting your progress. How many of you would like to have a gauge for measuring your spiritual growth? Anybody, would that be helpful for you? You want to know how you're doing, to have a sense of how you're growing. Pay attention to your love for people. Watch your love for people, because love of God and love of people are intrinsically connected. Oh, you may have thought you arrived. So I've been around some Christians who kind of, I had a sense they kind of thought they had arrived a little bit. And then I watched how they interacted with people, especially somebody who rubbed them the wrong way. And then you really get a sense of where their progress was. Come on, we're all works in progress in this area. Pay attention to your love for people, because you cannot love people if you have not developed a full love for God. The two are connected. You have to grow in your love for God to grow in your love for people. If you really want to see people the way God sees them, you have to grow in your love and your revelation of his love for you. Because when you begin to see people the way God sees people, then you begin to see yourself the way God sees you. When you look at people and you can begin to develop this lens of seeing people the way God sees them by his love and his grace, it will wake you up to the way God sees you in your brokenness, in your imperfections, in your mess, and you will get a fresh revelation of grace. And that takes time. Like that's a process. Like you grow in that and you get some breakthroughs there, then you know you're really growing spiritually. What does all this have to do with avoiding the mess, with addressing the mess? Let me help you get it, okay? Addressing the mess is about getting the grace of God, a fresh revelation of the grace of God. And when you set out to love people, right, you have to have the Father's heart. As you get the Father's heart, you begin to see people differently. And just about the time you begin to see them differently is about the time that you begin to realize how God sees you, how God receives you, how God loves you past all of your failures. And that will awaken you to see things a completely different way. It will awaken you to your dependence upon God so that you don't just drift toward just making the same old mistakes all over again and kind of throwing the grace of God to the side. And it'll keep you from swinging the other way and thinking it's all about you, because you'll know it's all about the grace of God. I know what God did for me. And so just go out and try to love on some people and you'll get a sense of where you are. That's Paul's prayer for us, that you would grow in love. In fact, this is so important. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, Jesus said something shocking. Look at this. He said, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, verse 24, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Now, this doesn't hit us as hard today, but for Jesus' original audience, like the context here is the temple. Like good covenant-keeping Jews, they went to the temple to worship. It was like the pinnacle of religious experience. The synagogue was nice, but you wanted to go to the temple in Jerusalem and to go and make an offering, to go and present us an offering to the priest, to have a sacrifice made, right? Like I want you to picture like somebody's in line at the temple. Like this is the most important act of worship that anybody, any Jewish person could do. And here's what Jesus is saying to them. He's saying like, this is so important. If you've got something against someone or somebody's got something against you and you need some forgiveness and reconciliation, I want you to get out of line at the temple and go find that person and make things right, because that is the essence of worship. Like that is the essence of truly loving God. Yeah, your little act in the temple, it's beautiful, but if you really get the heart of Father God, go and make things right with that person, and then you'll begin to get a picture of what God has done for you through me. That's what Jesus was saying, and it shocked people. It shocked people. It was a whole new paradigm, because how you love people is a reflection of your love for God. Those two are just connected. And so Paul's prayer for us is, I want you to love bigger. I want you to love bigger. I want you to grow in the grace of love, love for God, love for people. Like, that's what God wants to do on the inside of you. He doesn't want to just make you a better rule follower, but I want you to be able to love like Jesus loved. And here's why. You might say, well, what's the ultimate connection here with avoiding the mess? Here you go. You can put this in your notes. You rarely make a mess by doing what's best for other people. You rarely make a mess when you're focused on doing what's best for other people. Come on, husbands. Where are you at this morning, husbands? I can pick on you because I am one. When's the last time you made a mess because you loved your wife as Christ loved the church? When's the last time you made a mess that way? You certainly made a whole bunch of other messes by doing the opposite, right? Come on, I see some wives nudging like, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Yeah. Right? Let's just be honest. Let me ask you, everybody, when's the last time you made a mess of your life because you loved your neighbor as you love yourself? When's the last time that caused a mess for you? When's the last time you made a mess because you looked at people and you really got it in your spirit that they're made in the image of God? The only thing in all of creation that's made in the image of God. When's the last time you mistreated a cashier or a waitress or somebody who got your order wrong or somebody who cut you in line because you were so fixated that they're made in the image of God? When's the last time that messed up your life? Rarely, right? But we get it the opposite, right? We get focused on ourselves. We get so focused on ourselves and our own little private spirituality between us and God. And I'm gonna tell you, when you do that, it just becomes all about you. When you just become like a really good rule follower and you're just feeling so great about how much progress you've made between you and God, it's you and him, that's wonderful, but you're kind of having tunnel vision, right? Because it's when you go out and you try to love other people that you find out how much you really have this revelation of what God has done for you. If you only focus on you and how well you're doing following the rules, that's kind of like Old Testament. Like, you know, I'm going to conform. I'm going to try really hard to please God and maybe he'll be impressed with me. But when you go out and you begin to have enough of the love of God to love other people, now you know you've really begun to capture this revelation that God did for you, which you could never do for yourself. He extended grace to you. He loved you when you were unlovable. Oh, and that'll change your life. That will change your life. And so the goal is we want to cooperate with God to see his work come to pass in our lives. God, you began a good work in me. I want everything you have for me. Come on, I want to embrace what you've got for my life. And so God, I'm cooperating with your grace to see the good work that you began in my life come to pass. God, I know you got something great for me. Come on, how many of you want everything that God has for you? God, I want everything you have for me. So I'm positioning my heart. I'm positioning my heart. Holy Spirit, come and do a work in me. I want to work with you. And I'm going to tell you, something beautiful is going to happen. You're not just going to become a good rule keeper. You're going to become a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, a better father, a better friend, a better son, a better daughter, a better brother, a better sister, a better life group leader. Like, you are going to become the person that God has called you to be, because it's not about avoiding something. It's about becoming someone. Come on, you're not just going to avoid the mess. You're going to embrace something better that God has for you. Some of you got to get this. Like, this is going to be your breakthrough. It's not just about avoiding the sin and avoiding the mess. It's about embracing the better thing. It's not just about avoiding your pornography addiction. It's about getting around some living, breathing, real people that you can wrap your arms around. Come on. If you're struggling with substance abuse, it's not just trying really hard not to relapse. It's about getting yourself into recovery so you can experience freedom, so somebody else can benefit from your story and you can help them go to freedom. Come on, if you're struggling with materialism and you're looking around at what other people have and you compare yourself and you got this sense of keeping up with the Joneses, we got a little bit of that happening around here in Westchester, I'm just saying, come on somebody. The goal is not just about avoiding materialism, it's about becoming a generous person. God, I'm gonna give and it shall be given unto you, and your heart's gonna expand and you're never gonna go back to the same size. Some of you got to get this. If you're having problems with anger and your temper, it's not about trying really hard. I'm going to stop and count to 10 seconds every time I want to go off on somebody. No, God, you're doing a work in me so that instead of speaking cursings, I'm going to begin to speak blessings over people. Come on, you're under construction. God's doing a work in your life. You're struggling with selfishness and you just can't get your mind off of yourself. God, do a work in me so that you make me more like you, so I can begin to love people the way Jesus loved them, because it's not all about me. It's about what you want to do in me and through me to bless someone else. It's not about avoiding the mess. It's about becoming something. If you get a hold of this, it'll change your life. God has something so much better for you. So much better than just making the same old mess over and over again and just trying to avoid it and be a good rule keeper. It's about becoming something. And so we want to cooperate. God, we want to cooperate with your work. And so here's our prayer today, church. I'm going to give you a simple prayer for us to pray today, to position our spirits today. Here's our prayer. Heavenly Father, complete the work you've begun in me. Heavenly Father, complete the work that you've begun in me. Would you say that with me this morning? Heavenly Father, complete the work you've begun in me. This will tune you in to the work that God has already underway in your life. Some of you are missing it. You're missing where God is already at work in your life. You got to tune into it. And I want you to think about those people that we talked about, those famous stories. The woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and Zacchaeus, and the Samaritan woman at the well who had been divorced 5 times. Think about this. They met Jesus and they experienced inner transformation. They could never be the same. They could never go back to their old life, but they could certainly never move forward thinking that they did anything to save themselves. They had an experience with Jesus that changed them from the inside out. And so today, that's our prayer. God, do in me which you can only do. God, complete the work you've begun in my life. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray together. And here's how we're posturing our hearts today. Here's the prayer that we want to come into agreement, okay? Every prayer team member, every pastor, this is how we want to agree with you. We want to believe for God's work to come to pass in your life. For God to finish and complete the good work he began in you. It may be a work of physical healing that we're trusting him for. It may be freedom from some bondage. It may be the renewing of your mind. It may just be that your spirits are lifted today. It may be the healing of your broken heart. It may be a financial need. There's nothing to be ashamed of today. When you come down today, it's a step of faith. You're coming down to say, God, I'm believing for you to complete the work you began in me. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. God, we thank you for the good work that you begin in our lives. We believe today that you will bring it to completion, God. God, we cooperate with your grace today. We cooperate with the process today. We say, God, come and do in us what we could never do for ourselves. Transform us. Make us more like you, Jesus. We thank you for it. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.